the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Number two of Sports Talk begins at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. It's Rocktoberfest, which means incredible savings for you. And when you talk about the great deals, you're talking about getting more for yours, paying less for what they have here. And that's what makes it such a no-brainer. Come on down. Get up to $7,000 over Kelley Blue Book or get up to $9,000 on your trade-in, whether your heavy metal drives or not. We're at Oak Ridge Nissan, again, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. And it's time now for the Pigskin Panel, and that's brought to you by our friends at Phoenix Conversions.
And we're pleased to be joined by VFL Will Overstreet. Will, how you doing?
Doing very well today, guys.
Thanks for joining us. John Pennington with the Sports Source. John, what can we look forward to this Sunday?
Well, as usual, this one's going to be dependent on the Vols' performance. I think it's going to be a very interesting show because this is a game they have every opportunity to win. So if they do, we'll be talking about the positives. If they don't, we'll be asking what the heck happened on this one. So that's Sunday morning, 11 a.m., 90 minutes straight, Sports Source on WATE6.
Speaking of talking about performances, John Pennington, how did you think Brian Maurer played in his first start as a true freshman at quarterback?
Good for a freshman making his first start against a really good team in Georgia. Having seen the number of passes that he threw toward Florida defenders in Gainesville the week prior, he played better than I expected for the first half. And then second half, I think it was clear that Chaney knew that Georgia defense from going against it. I think he had some ideas of things they could attack that Georgia wouldn't have been expecting. Probably ran a lot more RPOs at them than they might have gathered. But second half, Georgia went in at halftime and said, okay, let's take this away. And they pretty much did. You have to give the kid credit for stepping in that environment. I think also hitting that first deep shot, I think that gave him a lot of confidence. I thought that was a great call, and that's a good example. You had a veteran safety back there that they do the double move on, and I just wonder if that's one where Chaney knew, oh, I can get this guy to bite. So I give him a lot of credit. He played a lot better than I thought he would.
Well, in terms of Maurer, I wonder if you think they might ask him to run a little bit more. He's a good runner.
Yep.
Georgia came in with a defense that gave up, 57 yards a game on the ground, Mississippi State 158. You think Tennessee might ask him to run the ball a little bit more against a run defense not as good as Georgia's?
I think they have to, and because a guy like that that has the versatility, that has the ability, you've seen him be able to run, and he's an athletic guy. You know, that's a tough thing for a defense, especially when they get into man coverage. They're in man coverage. Nobody's, unless they have somebody specifically spying on the quarterback, at some point in there, you have a space and a gap, and you can go make a play. So I think what he's got to be able to do, and they've got to give him the freedom to do, is, hey, if you're not seeing it and it doesn't look good and you see something to run, go take off. You know, get some confidence that way, and maybe start early in the game by calling a design run play for him just to say, hey, this is okay to do as well. Get him into the game a couple of different ways, not just in the passing game, but comfortable taking that chance of running the ball occasionally.
I agree, because when you go back and look at the Georgia game, he was, 2 of 12 when Georgia brought pressure, 20 yards and an interception. Okay, I'm going to guess from here on out people are going to be bringing pressure. So letting him use his wheels a little bit keeps him from just standing back there in the pocket like a statue. He's got good wheels, use him a little bit.
And encourage him to do it somewhat, because, I mean, you know, okay, listen, if you're a fourth-year senior, you need to be able to go through your progressions, right? You're a freshman. You get away with this. You know, this one's not there. This one's not there. Go see what you can make with your legs. I mean, I think you have to be in that game with him and say, listen, it's not a penalty on you if you're running in the right plays in the right areas. That's an okay play. That's a positive play. The other thing they've got to do, because he's done this a couple times, throw the ball away. Don't step out of bounds 1 yard short of the line of scrimmage. Either run it or toss it away. Don't take a sack on purpose. And he's had a couple of mental mistakes like that. So I think in those cases, they've got to encourage him. And like I said, probably early on in that game, you may want to get him out there and design a run for him just to get him comfortable doing
it. And on one of those scrambles to know where he hurt his non-throwing arm, it looked like had to come out of the game last week. So another reason, if it's not there, get rid of it.
Yeah.
John Paynton, do you think that Bob Shoup will come with a magic show against Tennessee?
I think he will. Don't know if it'll be don't know if it'll be any more effective than what we saw here. But my guess is he's going to dial up as many different things as he can. Any man that was brazen enough to talk about his own magic show will probably be sitting there, one, wanting to stick it to Tennessee because he knows he didn't do his best work here, or maybe wasn't allowed to do his best work here. But also, you got a rookie quarterback across the field. So my guess is he's going to try and confuse him, bring pressure from all different areas. I think he'll be aggressive as hell against this kid. And, you know, that's the next step for Maurer, you know. And it's going to be – this isn't just, okay, game one, you learned this. Game two, you'll get past the pressure thing. And then game three, you'll be normal. I mean, you're going to have these throughout the season. Little baby steps, I would expect. Who knows? He may be great, but I think this is one of those that he's going to have to come out and prove that he can handle pressure coming at him from different areas.
John Wilkerson, Georgia dominated time of possession in part because they ran the ball more effectively. Tennessee had only 21 run calls against Georgia. Now, they had the number one run defense in the league. Mississippi State does not. Do you think Tennessee should try to run it more effectively just to see, one, if they can run it, and secondly, to eat up some clock?
Well, I do think that you've got guys that, if, for instance, everything works in their favor, that can be difference makers and playmakers. And you saw it. The first carry against Georgia went for 16 yards. And now Georgia made some nice adjustments, not only to that, but as well as what else Tennessee was able to accomplish in the first half. And they shut them down significantly in the second half. As we were just talking about with Roger, I don't think that the personnel for Mississippi State's near what it was for them last year. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't think that it is in the same zip code right now as where Georgia is. So I think if you have pockets of success against the Bulldogs, that group of Bulldogs from Athens, then I think you certainly look forward to perhaps creating some similar opportunities this week. So, yes, I think that they should try and run the football more.
Will, I want to ask you about this. So Tennessee's offensive line, while I think we'd agree it's a little better than it was a year ago, there were four offensive linemen that went out of the game against Georgia. Trey Smith came back. Three others did not. Riley Locklear probably won't play. Jameer Johnson hadn't played in three games. How big of a concern? And then Brandon Kennedy missed most of Wednesday's practice because of a bruised knee. How big of a concern is the health of this offensive line going against State?
Well, their two biggest concern areas for this team has always been the front seven on either side of the ball. It's got your defensive line, your linebackers, and your offensive line. You don't have a lot of room for error. You don't have a lot of room for injury. So it is a huge concern. It's always going to be a concern, and it's always been a concern in this block of games, because it's in these block of games, the more physical games, where you don't have a break and you're having to play Mississippi State, Alabama, all these teams. What does your team in depth look like at the end of it? So it is a huge concern for this team because, you know, as, you know, like we said, the offensive line is better, but it's still not great. And the second string guy is not, he didn't make it to the first string to be on this offensive line. So you always have to say, if this guy goes out, what comes in next and how effective is it against SEC defensive linemen? So I think you really have to be concerned on both sides of the ball, even though you're not great at those. You have to always think that the next guy behind him there's a reason he's second string.
John Pennington, is there a concern that Darnell Wright started at right tackle, then he went to right guard? Now he's back at right tackle. In other words, they haven't seemed to be able to really find the five and build a chemistry among that group.
Oh, I think so. What is this? This would be their fourth different offensive line or fifth in six games. I mean, however you break it down. We've talked about it, it seems like, for years now, that is the one position on the field where all five guys have to be orchestrated together somewhat. There has to be confidence in the guy next to you. There has to be an understanding that if I do this, he'll do that, and I don't have to worry about him not doing that. And I don't know that any of those guys feel that way at this point, because you're constantly moving them, which means now I've got a new guy on my right or a new guy on my left or a new guy on both sides. I think that has to eat into your confidence a little bit as an offensive lineman. All of the changes, all of the movement on that line, especially, as Will pointed out, you don't have great depth there. It's not like it would be different if you had three seniors and two juniors as your starters, but then injuries forced you to put some other guys in there. Okay, so you got three seniors, a junior, and a freshman. That's different than two freshmen, a center who didn't play at all last year and hadn't really played 2 years prior to Alabama. So you're not only mixing up the chemistry every week, you're doing it with guys who are learning on the job. It's just it's a tough way to go into SEC play. I mean, that's October is going to be a rough one on the Lions.
When we come back, we'll talk about Tennessee's biggest challenge. Is it containing the SEC's leading rusher or containing the running quarterbacks at Mississippi State?
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson with John Pennington and Will Overstreet. It is the Pigskin Panel. It's brought to you by Phoenix Conversions, East Tennessee's truck accessory superstore. When it has to be the best, Phoenix Conversions. More sports talk coming your way here at Oak Ridge Nissan.
99.1, the sports animal. Just because your workday is boring doesn't mean your radio station has to be.
Pigskin Panel continues. The Pigskin Panel brought to you by Phoenix Conversion. Sports Talk continues from Oak Ridge Nissan.
We're joined by Will Overstreet, VFL, and John Pennington with the Sports Source. Tennessee faces a Mississippi State team that has the SEC's leading rusher, Kylan Hill, 119 yards per game. He's got well over 300 yards after contact. They also have a couple of quarterbacks that like to run. The best of those runners is Garrett Schrader. He's averaging 6.8 yards a carry. Will Overstreet, you played on the defensive line in the SEC. You kind of figure Hill's going to get some yardage, but you've also got a mobile quarterback. Which one do you think could be more dangerous to a defense?
There, most of the times in a game like this, you know, if you have a really good defense and you're going up against a game, you're always worried about the first and second down. You're worried about the quarterback on third down. That's the situation. Your guys are covering. They're out in the distance. You know, you got to be careful in your pass rush. But in a game and what we've seen Tennessee be able to do and not do, I'm more worried about the running back on first and second down. What does their offensive line do against the defensive line? What's that average carry on first and second down? That's the one that troubles you the most, because if that's getting into the 4 yard range, 5 yard range by the end of the second quarter, then the third quarter, it's going to be just like the Georgia game in some sense. You got a time of possession advantage. They're just going to mash you at the end. And so that's where you worry the most in this game. Can your guys hold up on that front? The quarterback comes into play when they need a third and long. If you've gotten them into that situation, hopefully you have somebody spying one of these guys and coming up with a play there. I worry about the just bread and butter. Can we stop and slow that down long enough?
You got it?
Yes.
Okay.
There you are.
I will go the other way just for the sake of argument and say I think the running back is going to get his.
I'm worried about 180, not 120.
Right. What I've seen from this defensive line, I think they will wear down, and I think that they're the best running back in the SEC who's got all those yards after contact. After Georgia got all those yards after contact, I don't think that bodes well for Tennessee. So, to me, you double up their danger on offense if Schrader can come in there and run as well. He's not the wild option guy that you had with Georgia State, who's just going to run your defense off the field. But he's one more weapon. So, to me, I'll go the other way just to keep it interesting. But
but here's the thing. You're not going to get a lot of pass rush, so you just tell your guys all to stay in their lanes right in front of him, and then you got him. I mean, that's the thing. We're automatically playing run on third and long right now. I mean, that's the good thing about our pass rush. We're still at the line of scrimmage looking at each other.
Well, I did ask Jeremy Pruitt, is it when you have a running quarterback, is that harder on the secondary? Is there in pass coverage? He takes off running. Do you leave your man when you come up? Is it tougher on linebackers in regard to trying to defend a quarterback who's mobile, who takes off running on a pass play or rollout?
Yeah.
And you know what he said? It's hard on the defensive play caller. That's who it's harder on. But who do you think, as far as linebacker or defensive backs, who's it harder on?
It's linebacker because it's the guy in the middle, right? It's that guy in that mid-range level that it has a guy that's, you know, maybe 5 to 6 to 8 yards away from the line of scrimmage, and the quarterback's coming up, and you've got to make a play. The guy in the secondary, you know, okay, I've got somebody in front of me. I probably need to stick with this guy until he's past that line of scrimmage and is committed to that. But it's anybody that's in that, hey, it's within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage and the guy's getting close. Do I go up and make the play, or do I stay with the guy? And there's no right answer at that point in time. Really, it's just a guess of I got to make the best of whichever decision I make. And it's kind of a you can be wrong either way you choose. So it's a hard situation with that guy. And, you know, it could be a secondary guy, but it's in that 10-yard range to the line of scrimmage. That's the guy that has the most difficult.
Well, if he's already getting to the secondary, you got issues to start.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Well, I wonder also if you put a spy on him, if that's part of why he's saying the defensive play caller. John Wilkerson, Tennessee has lost three inside linebackers in the last week and a half from either transferring or dismissed, whatever. And then Henry Toa played every snap against Georgia. I think Batuli played all but maybe just a handful of snaps. Kravaris Crouch now is an inside linebacker. How big of a concern is that for the linebackers wearing out?
Well, I think it's a big concern. Just for the fact that you're talking about the sheer load. If this were the NBA, it would be all about load management.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's not. And they just are so paper thin at that position. I do like what they have leading the way. I mean, you've got two quality players that are right there. It's just that you can't expect them to be as effective in the 59th minute, as we go to a soccer reference of the football game, as opposed to what you would see perhaps in the first half.
Does that make third down defense efficiency even more important for the defense to get off the field?
Yeah, and it also makes it much more important for the offense to sustain drives. Now, obviously, in a game like tomorrow, you have to score as much as you can when given an opportunity. But if they can just get a first down or a couple of first downs each possession, that could be the difference in being as fresh as possible, especially at inside linebacker late in the game.
And I think you have to also look at that in protecting the defense. It's not just getting a first down, but how much of the play clock are we using at every time before we take the snap? Are we running it down to 3 seconds before we're taking the snap, or do we have 10 seconds on? I mean, that becomes as much a part of the game as anything, is just giving that extra few seconds. You're up there, you got it. Hey, listen, we don't have to go for it right this second. I know that can put you in a position with the offensive line maybe jumping and stuff, but you got to be able to try to do that as well, because those extra few seconds add up over a game and will really help or hurt your defense. The scary part about this year right now is I would have thought you'd been in this kind of trouble after Alabama, after maybe another game or two. You're in there 2 games early. You're light 2 games early. That's a problem for the end of the season.
When we come back, we'll talk about how Tennessee has been outscored 71-19 by 4 FBS teams in the second half. What does that mean going forward?
It is the Pigskin Panel brought to you by Phoenix Conversions, East Tennessee's truck accessory superstore, when it has to be the best, Phoenix Conversions. Sports Talk continues from Oak Ridge Nissan. Sports Talk continues. We've got more with the Pigskin Panel brought to you by Phoenix Conversions, as the program today is in Oak Ridge at Oak Ridge Nissan.
And we're joined by John Pennington with the Sports Source. You can watch that Sunday starting at 11 a.m. going 90 minutes. VFL Will Overstreet. Tennessee's been outscored 71-19 by 4 FBS teams in the second half. Jeremy Pruitt gave a litany of reasons why he thinks that has occurred. Will Overstreet, what do you think is the main reason Tennessee has been outscored that much in the second half by 4 FBS opponents?
The defensive line gets worn down, and the offensive coordinator gets smart on the other side and says, you know what, it's a real simple game plan here, boys. We're just going to pound the rock, and that's what happens. I mean, you're just talking about they control the line of scrimmage, they control the time of possession, and then basically from then on out, they're just running the ball. It's really easy to win when you're able to rush for about 5 yards a carry.
Well, the numbers back that up in terms of the rushing yards. Just the FBS opponents, take Chattanooga out of it. Tennessee, and this is ballpark, Tennessee's giving up about 3.5 yards carry in the first half, about 4.5 yards carry in the second half. That's exactly what you're talking about. I just think there may be other issues. They may be limited in terms of the adjustments they can make just due to the personnel and youth. Maybe that's a part of it, but I think it's depth. I mean, your defensive line isn't great to start, so by the time you get to the second half and the opposing team is just running it down your throat.
Well, and it's just like, you know, Georgia State threw too much in the first half, and then all of a sudden they said, hey, this option thing, you know what?
It's working. BYU.
BYU, same thing. And if you really saw Georgia at almost at the very end of the second quarter in one of their drives, you just sort of, you saw the line of scrimmage reset 3 or 4 yards back, and you just looked at it and go, why would they do anything different than that when it comes out in the second half when you start seeing that? So I think every team's just kind of looking at that going, you know what, we can work on some things and try some things, get some fast scores and get the tempo of the game. But when they get down to it in the second half, they look at their offensive line and go, hey, what do you guys think you can do? And they're going, we can run these guys out down the field. And they just say, hey, coach, start doing the simple stuff. Hand it off.
John Wilkerson, Jeremy Pruitt referred to maturity. Do you think he was talking about experience, or do you think he was talking about the inability to overcome adversity?
Probably both, because one essentially goes with the other. Now, what you're also looking forward to, or you hope that you can build on at some point, is that something that you did, you overcame, and it led to success. Tennessee's short in the success department. So you think about, you remember exactly what worked as you were down because of a turnover or a couple of mistakes earlier, and then you came back, you overcame, and you won. Tennessee has been able to battle, but Tennessee has not been able to win. And you just wonder what that does. If tomorrow's game gets down to the final minute and there they are protecting a slim lead or trying to mount that comeback, whether or not they have anything to draw from in regards to those that are in this position for the very first time.
Will Overstreet, you were a highly touted recruit coming out of the state of Mississippi. I don't think you would have gone to Tennessee if Tennessee wasn't playing championship-level football. Does Tennessee have to beat Mississippi State in an effort to try to salvage this recruiting class? Because if you turn a 2-10 or a 3-9, I'm not sure how many of these people you're going to keep. A quarterback they've got committed has already said he's looking around. He may take other visits. How important is it to try to beat Mississippi State and at least get to 4 or 5 wins?
Yeah, you got to show something. And right now you haven't shown life in any of the big games you needed. And you hadn't shown life in some of the games you would have thought you'd been able to walk through. So, you know, at this point, Mississippi State, you know, you beat Kentucky last year. Vanderbilt's bad. So you're not going to get a whole lot of credit out there just traditionally if you beat even a Kentucky and a Vanderbilt. You're not going to get a lot of pub and a bump. So, you know, Mississippi State's one of these teams you don't see very often. People know they're a pretty competitive, tough team. Can you line up and get them? And especially in this mix when it's going to be bad news. Bad news on the other side of this game, we're pretty sure of. Can you get some bright spot and a little momentum, a PR momentum in there in between? Otherwise, you're just going to have a slew of bad news until, I don't know, UAB? So it's a very important game. I think it's very important not only for the recruiting, but I think for the fan base. I mean, to go out there, you know, another game at home or, you know, just to see these guys get beat again is not good.
Well, I think it's also big for the players he's got over there right now because we were talking about this last Sunday. There are rumors floating around that you've still got some more guys over there who aren't happy, some fellows who may look toward the transfer portal at some point. If you lose to Mississippi State, do you have guys that just throw in the towel? Do you, as a team, I mean, let's face it, no one expected this team to just roll up and die after they beat Kentucky last year. We're thinking, okay, for the second time this year, a corner has been turned. This time they really mean it. And instead they go out and they show no energy, no life, no care. You lose to Mississippi State, you fall to 1-5, you got Alabama next week. I just wonder if there are some guys on this team who say, that's enough. I'll join the other six guys who departed one way or the other. So I think it's important, fan base, recruiting, but also keeping the guys you've got bought in. And I don't know if that's going to make a difference against Alabama, but when people look at it and say, well, you can beat Kentucky, you can beat Vanderbilt, not if they quit.
Yeah.
You're not going to beat either of those teams if you quit. So.
The attendance also has not been great this year. That could be an issue going forward if you don't win this one. Mississippi State this year, they have to suspend 10 players for 8 games each. They suspended 7 for Louisiana Lafayette, 4 for Southern Miss, 5 for Kansas State and Auburn, none for Kentucky. So, and they beat Kentucky. So some feel like, well, they're not going to suspend any for Tennessee because they see that as a winnable game. I would bet you that Bob Shoop is going to say you're not suspending anybody on defense against Tennessee. Do you see that as a distraction to Mississippi State or just your overall thoughts on this whole situation, John?
I think that I think it's great for the school if you're able to pull that off. I wonder how many other schools are now going to say, hey, we will fall on our swords with the suspensions, but we get to pick which games. Because, you know, now that's not going to do anything for an Alabama or an Ohio State or a Clemson, but if you're a team like Mississippi State or like a Tennessee, that you go into a year thinking 6-6, okay, there's no way we beat Alabama or Georgia, so let's put everybody off the field at that point. We should be able to beat this crummy team, whether we got them or not, so suspend them here. But these games that we have, these either-way games, these flip games, Tennessee, Mississippi State, we're going to go all in. I think it's a – again, if you're a school and you know you're going to have to deal with suspensions of some sort, Lord, I'm going to the NCAA and saying I want the Mississippi State deal. I don't think it's a distraction for them. I think it may be a kind of thing that would work and say it puts an added emphasis on this game because, hey, we're literally all in. This is one where the whole team is together, and we're going to get this one. And it probably helps them as well that when they did it against Kentucky, it worked. They won the game. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. It may not help Mississippi State, but I don't see how it hurts them, all your guys.
The head coach, Mississippi State, Joe Moore, had said it's a challenge but not a distraction because they got to figure out who to play, who not to play. Yeah. They've only played their best linebacker, Willie Gay, one game. He had a pick six against Kentucky, and they ended up winning it. When we come back, we'll talk about some SEC teams, which two SEC teams have the best chance to make the college football playoff, and we'll look at our top five as far as ranking the SEC.
That's next as the Pigskin Panel continues. The Pigskin Panel brought to you by Phoenix Conversions, East Tennessee's truck accessory superstore when it has to be the best. Phoenix Conversions. Sports Talk today is at Oak Ridge Nissan.
Sports animal, we never really grew up. We just learn how to act in public most of the time.
A final segment to the Pigskin Panel, as it's brought to you by our friend at Phoenix Conversions and Sports Talk. A final segment to hour number two from Oak Ridge Nissan.
Will Overstreet, former Tennessee star player, and John Pennington, sports source, I guess. The SEC would like to get
a sports source, I guess. No, really, it's the sports source. I know what you're saying. I was just kidding.
Oh, well, you are. the sports radio guest.
Yeah. Right.
Two teams from the SEC have a very good chance, I would think, of getting in the college football playoff. Which two, John Pennington, which two do you like best?
I put Georgia in there because technically they'll only have to face Alabama or LSU in the SEC title game. So I think that gives them the advantage. And then if it comes down to Alabama, LSU, I'm going to take Alabama. And reason being that based on what they've done over the years, let's say they lose the SEC title game and it's down to them and Oklahoma or Ohio State. I think the committee will give Alabama a little more leeway than it would LSU in the same position. May be wrong on that. Committee changes every year and it may be a little different. But I would give Georgia the edge because they're only got to play one of those teams. And I would give the other edge to Alabama. So because I think if it comes down to some sort of, are we going with this team or this team? I think they're going to look at Alabama's track record and put them in.
John Wilkerson.
Yeah, I would start with those being my two picks, one from the East, one from the West. And there are scenarios that have been floated that you could get as many as three. I don't think that would happen. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but LSU would be the next closest team in my mind.
The playoff would go to 8 immediately if
yes,
that happened.
Yes, it would.
That's how you got the playoff last time. Nobody had talked about it. Then you get two SEC teams in the championship, and it's like, hey, we need a playoff. If they got three in, you'll have an 18 playoff.
Either that or no conference can have more than two.
Right. Back in.
I do believe this, though. If Georgia loses in the SEC championship game, the the LSU or Alabama that didn't play in the game has a better chance than Georgia of getting in the playoffs.
See, I wondered about that too, because I wonder if the committee is going to be looking at, all right, what was the last game? You just lost.
Yeah.
Am I going to put you in?
The recency thing.
So I'm thinking if LSU loses to Alabama, then LSU wins like three or four in a row, and then Alabama whips Georgia, I think LSU could have a shot at getting in.
Yeah, I think if Georgia loses, that other team that lost has a better chance than Georgia. Now, whether that'll happen or not, depending on those other teams out there, but I think they're going to look at that because I think it's hard to deny that LSU's a really good team. Alabama's a really good team. So I think those are going to play into it, that Georgia just lost. So that was kind of their playoff game. I think they would add somebody else back in from the other side.
Now, they do a lot of talking about the total body of work, right. And it's not supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
But we all have recency bias. I mean, that's just part of it. So that's a good point.
The other thing about that is which of these teams is most likely to lose two games? I don't think it's Alabama. Is it Georgia or LSU? Which is most likely to lose two? I think it's LSU.
Yeah.
Because I think they'll lose to Alabama, and I think somebody else can get them. I think Georgia's path is easier.
Well, but that also plays into account that Georgia's body of work would be less than if LSU did a – you know, LSU or Alabama was a one-loss team and only lost to the group that eventually beat Georgia for the SEC championship. Then I'd point back again, the body of work at that point in time, it points back to the other West team that has one loss.
Will, how would you rank the SEC top five?
I'm going to rank it LSU, Alabama,
wow,
Georgia. Then that's where I go down from there of my switch of the groups that's next, because you got you got Florida probably next, and then it's kind of a mix of a couple of different teams that have a hard time really distinguishing between each other.
John Pennington?
I don't think Alabama – this isn't Nick Saban's best team by any stretch down there, but I'm still going to put Alabama first. I'll put Georgia second. LSU's look great. I'm just not buying into Ed Orgeron yet. We'll see. But Alabama, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and then I'd put Florida, and then Auburn is the way I would go.
John Wilkerson.
I have the same teams 3 through 5 that John has, but I've got Georgia 1, Alabama 2.
I've got Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Florida, Auburn.
You and I are the same then, so I'm screwed. I must be wrong.
Yep, you're wrong.
We usually are. By the way, let's touch on this. Tennessee had basketball media day today. John Pennington, your thoughts on where this team might be going this year?
You know, we had Mark Pankratz on the show a couple weeks ago, and we talked about the fact that I think it's a bubble team. He thinks it's a bubble team. Could it be better than that? Yes. In fact, if you told me you can't say bubble team, so you either have to pick they're a surefire NCAA or surefire not, I'll go surefire NCAA. So I think they're bubble team leaning toward in. I'm giving a lot of credit to Rick Barnes. There's a ton of questions. I mean, there's been a roster churn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a true point guard in Lamonte Turner? Do you have a true backup behind him if something happens? So you've got a lot of question marks, but I'm going to err on the side of what Rick Barnes has done in his career and certainly what he's done the last couple of years at Tennessee. I'll give him the edge of sneaking into the tournament, but I think fans should be prepared. This is a team that might lose 8, 9, 10 games, still getting into the tournament. Whereas, you know, if people are thinking it's going to be another 4-loss team, then they're going to be in the top 5. They're not there yet.
Yeah, they're not going to win 31. I don't think there's any way. Will, do you get the benefit of the doubt to Rick Barnes and his staff?
I do, because he knows what he wants. He knows how to build a program. I think that's been shown. He knows how to get guys better from 1 year to the next. So I think in the end, you have to say that guy knows how to put together a team to be competitive and to get into the tournament.
John Wilkerson?
Yeah, I do think that benefit of the doubt goes to Coach Barnes and his staff, and I think it'll be a challenge, but I think they'll find a way.
I think they're bubble team also, but if you had to say surefire in or out, I would say in, because I do believe in the staff, and I do think some of these newcomers are going to be really good players for them to help them. Folks, we appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. John Pennington with the Sports Source. Tell us about this Sunday.
We'll be broadcasting from the roof of No, I'm kidding. Sunday morning, 11 a.m. till 12:30, we'll be breaking down the Tennessee-Mississippi State game. We've got all kinds of VFLs there. We got all kinds of media guys there. Really interesting game. So I think it's going to be a fascinating show. Either way this one turns out, we're either going to be looking positive down the road or really asking questions about how they can't even get past Mississippi State. So Sunday morning is going to be interesting.
Will Overstreet, thank you. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, guys.
And that is the Pigskin Panel, again, brought to you by our friends at Phoenix Conversions. When it has to be the best, Phoenix Conversions. Hour number three of Sports Talk is next. It's the Pick segment, and we'll be joined by Vol for Life Mike Stoll. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.